on a Friday. We've arrived at Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. I didn't realize just until I moved to Wisconsin how important the fish fry is here, totally ingrained in our state's DNA. And just in case you haven't noticed, hundreds of restaurants and churches and VFWs and taverns hold fish fries. And this is a year-round culinary tradition among people of all religious backgrounds. Where do you like to go for fish fry? What do you order? Do you mix it up? Where is your favorite fish fry spot? What makes it unique? Join in 800-642-1234. Patty Zarling is a life and storytelling reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Green Bay, and she's been reporting on the yellow perch shortage in the Great Lakes region. She joins us from our studios in Green Bay this morning. Patty, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So when did the yellow perch shortage start? When did you see it coming on?
Well, it's been going on for a while. I first noticed it with restaurants and first started reporting on it in around October. They had said that they'd had kind of a poor summer catch, and so we were hearing from restaurants. I cover business typically, and so I was hearing that many of them were taking perch off their menus or kind of worrying about what was going to happen come Lent season. So that's really how I first started reporting and kind of looking into the issue.
What's going on here? What is happening in the waters of the Great Lakes that is contributing to this shortage?
Sure. Well, most of our perch that you see on your plates in restaurants does come from the Great Lakes. Much of it actually comes from Lake Erie, although they do catch some in the Bay of Green Bay as well. And there's just a wide variety of reasons that yellow perch is just not around. One of them is probably the biggest one that I've heard is that sportsmen really wanted walleye. So the Canadian government kind of made a push to sort of grow more walleye. And they actually feed on Lake Perch. So that was, I think they didn't quite expect it to take off the way it did. And now they're kind of dealing with those after effects.
And the ecosystem's kind of out of balance there. What about storms? Would they contribute to the shortage?
Yes. One of the distributors did tell me that with high winds and the lake waters have been very, very high for the last couple of years, fishermen have a hard time actually sort of controlling the way that their nets go, as odd as that sounds. So they need to have them in place in a certain direction. If high winds are going the wrong way, they can't get their perch nets just right in order to catch those fish. So that's also a problem.
Are dead zones at all in Lake Erie contributing to the shortage?
That is another issue. Dead zones, from my understanding, is that they are sort of spaces where there's a lack of oxygen. And what is causing that, at least according to the perch expert that I talked to, is invasive species coming in. There's goby fish, the sea mussels that we've all heard about, all of them are kind of creating, and as well as other plant life, they're just sort of creating these unique places where there's no oxygen, and so the perch cannot survive.
Do you have any estimates as to when the perch will bounce back or when we'll start seeing larger catches?
Well, I did talk to several distributors, and kind of what they said is that they think it'll be another few years because it's, you know, obviously it's got to take a while for them to sort of replenish themselves. But they also said that while this is the worst they've ever seen, they have seen it dip before. So most of them kind of see this as a cycle. But they're thinking that the amounts won't be back to where they should be or usually are for another 3 or 4 years.
Talking with Patty Zarling, she's a life and storytelling reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Green Bay, and she's been writing about the yellow perch shortage in the Great Lakes. Have you gone out for fish fry lately? Did you notice a lack of perch? And if you're a fisher, is the perch shortage affecting your business? If you work in the service industry, how has this affected you? Have you had to pass the price along to customers, or have you instead relied on other fish dishes? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. So, Patty, when you're talking with the seafood distributors, and what are they saying to customers and these restaurants that are expecting to serve a lot of perch in these weeks?
Well, the distributors that I talked to, and again, I first reported on this back in October and then kind of followed up in the recent weeks leading up to Lent. What they said in October is that, you know, they're going to their top priority are the people that first order perch from them year round. And secondly, are kind of the people that ordered ahead or are their current clients. So anybody that's dropping in now because they can't find perch anywhere else and asking for perch is not going to get any. They also are suggesting alternatives. They're really trying to press, you know, walleye, whitefish. There's also something called Zander, which is a European perch.
Where is that from?
It is, well, from what I've heard, it comes from Russia.
Okay.
Most of it, but really basically any place where there's, you know, a freshwater Great Lake type system there where perch could live. But of course, they say that it's not quite as tasty, and obviously it won't be quite as fresh because they are flying it in from Europe.
And so the distributors are really trying to perhaps push restaurants to other options, it sounds like, for their menus?
Exactly. Yep, that is true.
Has the shortage affected the price of perch on the menu?
Well, it has affected the wholesale price. They said the distributor that I talked to said it was roughly at some point about $15 to $16 a pound. That has gone up at least $2 a pound. But the restaurateurs that I've talked to have said that the prices are already about as high as the market will bear. When I went out last week for perch, it was about $20 for the plate of perch that I got. And I guess their feeling is that people probably aren't going to pay much more for that. So that, again, is why they're maybe stressing, you know, trying something else.
You've also been talking with the perch guy who sends out newsletters about perch, Paul Becker, who owns Riverside Foods in Two Harbors. What did Paul tell you?
Well, he told me he actually had gone to a Canadian Fishermen's Association meeting of some sort right before I talked to him. And he said that the main conversation there was actually yellow perch and what to do about it. So the Canadian government is looking at a variety of different options to try and help rebuild that perch population. I think they're working with the U.S. government, federal government as well. There's the issue of cormorant birds, which also eat perch. So they're looking at how do they control that population. So I think everybody is aware of the problem and is trying to work on it, but there won't be any quick solutions, he said.
Is there one option to pull back on the amount of walleye that's raised?
I think that they are looking at that. The problem at this point isn't that anybody's raising it. The problem is they did that a few years ago, and now the population has taken over.
USA Today Network Wisconsin storytelling reporter Patty Zarling is here with us for Fish Fry. Up north, a shout out to Delta Diner near Iron River and its perch and potato pancakes. It's a staple on Friday and Saturday nights. To the south, how about the cod and the hush puppies at the Dorf House Supper Club in Sauk City? And to the west, there's all you can eat cod with a light batter, beer batter at Hungry Peddler in La Crosse. Where do you go for Fish Fry? What do you wonder about how Fish Fry became such a staple here in Wisconsin? Do you have any Fish Fry history to share? Do you remember when Fish Fry became a tradition for you and your family? Join in with your traditions and where you go, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute, more Wisconsin Weekend with Patty Zarling right here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking fish fries here on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So roughly a century ago, the Wisconsin fish fry tradition started taking hold here. Fish were plentiful and cheap. Regional species like walleye and bluegill and catfish, perch, still often found alongside cod. Restaurant workers, how busy are you this time of year? What do you hear from your customers about the fish fry? What traditions go along with a Wisconsin fish fry at your restaurant? Be part of this at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Patty Zarling is a life and storytelling reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin, and she stays with us from Green Bay. So, Patty, your headline on your article about the shortage of the perch said restaurants switch to other fish specials as yellow perch supplies dry up for Lent. And you actually saw restaurants sharing it to advertise, no, we still have perch, guys. So what was that like?
I did. That was very odd and very interesting, but, you know, good for them. I just happened to notice, you know, I follow, obviously, a number of businesses on Facebook, and even, you know, just a, sort of a few general food ones. And I did see everybody that said they had perch was putting it out there with a picture. Come to us. We've got perch. So, yeah, I found that very interesting. It's good to know I'm making an impact one way or the other, right?
So just because that we're talking about a shortage doesn't mean that that restaurant down the street doesn't have perch.
That's very true. Yes. And they are hoping to, you know, the ones that, again, that planned ahead and ordered ahead are hoping that they will have enough to last them through the 4 or 5 weeks of Lent when it's the really heavy, fish eating. People really change their diets.
Can we quantify at all how much the perch demands do go up during Lent?
That is a great question that I do not have an answer for. I apologize.
That's okay. What would your ordering advice be for us when we go out tonight or when we go out next Friday night to, you know, we see that perch, it isn't on the menu. What's a good alternative?
Well, I personally, I would go for whitefish, but as I mentioned to someone earlier, I am actually a salmon eater, and I know that might not be a traditional sort of Friday fish fry type meal, but that's what I'd go for, and that you can find pretty much anywhere, I think, that sells fish. Otherwise, you're going to see everything else on the menu. Again, the people that I talk to are saying whitefish or the walleye is the way to go. Battered up, they taste really good. If you can kind of let go of your disappointment of not having that perch, there's a lot of good alternatives out there for sure.
Well, Patty, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Patty Zarling is a life and storytelling reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Green Bay, and she joined us from our studios there. She's been covering the yellow perch shortage in the Great Lakes. You can find a link to her story at WPR.org/mornings. Now let's bring in Janet Gilmore. She's a professor in the Department of Planning and Landscape Architecture and the Folklore Program at UW-Madison. She's affiliated with the Center for the Study of Upper Midwestern Cultures, and she's studied Wisconsin's commercial fishing and the cultural history of food. Janet, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hello.
Well, Wisconsin has access to a lot of freshwater sources. How has that influenced our culture and our fish habits and what we eat?
Well, all of these questions are going to be very complicated to respond to. So, Wisconsin, we are surrounded by water. We have two Great Lakes surrounding Wisconsin and also the Mississippi River, which are two places where a lot of fishing has occurred over thousands of years, as well as in interior streams and lakes. And our indigenous people, our first peoples, were dependent on fish for getting through particularly the winter season. And when the Europeans began exploring the continent and looking for opportunities to exploit, they were very impressed by the bounty of fishes in the Great Lakes in particular. And they reported back to Europe about the delicious fishes and the bounties beyond imagination of fish. And they spent quite a lot of time inspecting what people also were doing in fishing, some of the spectacular fishing, the Sioux area in between the Lake Huron and Lake Superior,
and there were the The bounty also meant that they could grow up in industry, that they could trade, that they could make money.
That's right. That's right. And in fact, that's what happened. Then before settlers came, there was like the Hudson Bay Company came in and actually brought people to work and hired some of the Indian people to fish for them. But they also displaced a lot of fisheries, a lot of the native fisheries, which sent them in, the Indian groups, into a relative, into trouble in terms of a major food source. Because especially whitefish and lake trout, the big fishes, they were very dependent on those, and especially through the winter, they're big-bodied fish. And they also preserve, the whitefish could be preserved through drying and could serve as a source of food through the winter. And so these reports went back to Europe, and people who began to think about immigrating to this country and to Canada were thinking about, well, how could they make a living in this new place? And many of the people who came to Wisconsin in particular were from Northern Europe and Central Europe as well. Many of them were familiar with eating fish, whether they liked it or not. And many of them also were comfortable with the idea of fishing when they came to Wisconsin. So a lot of the people who settled, particularly on the Lake Michigan shore, would combine pond net fishing with farming and with working in the lumber camps in a kind of a complementary cycle throughout the year.
So it really was infused. Fishing was infused in so many aspects of life in this new world. How were the influences of Catholicism, Janet?
Well, I think some of the first reports of these Friday night fish, availability of fish for Catholics on Friday, are date from when Germans particularly came, but there also were Poles there, and there are French Catholics there. And Catholics had bans on eating meat on Fridays, and fish is actually considered a meat, but it's a sacrificial meat. And so large volumes of Catholics settled in Wisconsin, and German Catholics were very much involved in the fish catching fish and distributing fish in places like Milwaukee, and it was sort of Kashubians and Polish Germans and Catholics, and also up in Green Bay, and a lot of the hot spots that people think of, or Jeff Hagen has called them, epicenters in Wisconsin, have had large populations of Catholics that have been identified with these big fish fry areas. So that's Green Bay and actually Dubuque, that river area on the Mississippi, and Milwaukee. And
there's also these fish fries bring community together, whether it's within a parish or whether it's in a neighborhood, because there's also a lot of little rituals with the act of putting together a fish fry.
I think that one of the things that I have found most interesting about studying the fish fry is the way in which it's such a social event. And in a way, in Wisconsin particularly, it really partakes of Wisconsin's party culture. Now, where the heck that came from is a good question. We could think of happy polkas and happy German Catholic people dancing polkas and that kind of thing. Anyway, we do all know how much people in Wisconsin really enjoy being sociable. And I think fish fries are just another place where people have been sociable. It's particularly among the Catholics, and I have to say it's not just Catholics who were eating fish way back when, but you know, that Catholics used to have large families, and they to go out and to take to go out for fish was preferred to staying at home and cooking fish on Fridays. And so some restaurants made, and fish was cheap also back in the day. And so you could take your whole family to a tavern or a restaurant or to a church fish fry.
Or your church and, basement, yeah.
And, right.
And share in that and, community.
Right. And I think it's very interesting watching people's fish fry habits even now. Anybody who's gone to try to go to a fish fry on a Friday, a popular one, has to stand in line. People come up to favorite places from far, far away and talk about how, oh, yeah, we had to stand in line, but we love standing in line and talking to people.
Well, let's pause right there with UW-Madison folklorist Janet Gilmer, our guide to the history of fish fries in Wisconsin. Your traditions, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment. It's Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer Kent. What's not to love about fish fries? Shout out to Church Fish Fries. Holy Family Catholic Church in Milwaukee offers fried and baked cod through Lent. There's St. Peter's famous fish fry in Middleton. It's a tradition that goes back decades. And head to Sheboygan for St. Peter Claver Church's fish fry. It starts at 4:30. I was talking to them yesterday. Do you find community at a church fish fry? Is it only during Lent or throughout the year? Do you volunteer at your parish fish fry? So what's your role? What's your job? Join in 800-642-1234. Janet Gilmore is our guide. She's a professor in the UW-Madison Department of Planning and Landscape Architecture and the Folklore Program. So Don from Sockville called in, couldn't stay with us, and Don says they've heard that fish fries were often free, so taverns could lure people in to the bars to drink. Is there anything to that, Janet?
Well, there definitely is. And before this happened also during Prohibition, particularly, but it happened before then in the late 19th century. There was around the country this concept of a free lunch that was available through saloons, and the idea was to lure. Saloons were competing with each other, particularly in places like Chicago. And so whoever could offer the best free food might attract people. And fish is there are certain kinds of fish, Great Lakes fish, that are frequently cheaper than some of the more premium fish, and so they could be had quite cheaply. So there was this sort of prior tradition before the fish fry as we know it began, and then that kind of it became influential during Prohibition, where Wisconsin has a drinking culture, and there was access to beer and spirits under the table, and but people could be lured to. It's like the situation was flipped in a way where they could come and get cheap food at a speakeasy that no longer supposedly was providing alcohol, and then they could get liquor under the table.
Liquor, sure, yeah.
And that would keep some businesses in business through that period of Prohibition. And there also were people who were able to get licenses for medicinal products that involved alcohol as well. Wisconsin was quite creative in terms of how it dealt with Prohibition. Mm. So
that sounds like a whole different segment.
Well, it is, and I think it's interesting though that there is this association with drinking beer. And a beer drinking establishment type of a tradition that Germans and Bohemians introduced, particularly into the large settlements in Milwaukee and along the eastern seaboard of Wisconsin. And those offered also a really different type of environment from the saloon culture. And there also was a temperance movement that was figuring into this, because particularly in places like Chicago, if men took their paychecks and went to the saloon, nothing would come home. And there was a lot of people upset about that. And the German and Czech people who settled in Wisconsin had these kind of neighborhood tavern-like establishments where people came and discussed politics. Men predominated and drank beer, but also women and families would come to these establishments and food would be offered. And this carried over into the beer garden tradition later on, where people would also go out to the outskirts of Milwaukee, take the train out, and be able to be a family in a place where they could drink beer. So there is this really important connection between beer drinking and the development of the fish fry. So right during that prohibition period, there was also this, there was a lot of development of industrialized methods of cooking food, and freezing was coming in.
Yeah.
And so fish from not just from Wisconsin, and in the 30s also, the fisheries were diving in productivity for a host of different reasons in the local areas of Wisconsin. But so there was this prior cod connection that had been established because of our Norwegian settlers who had to have their lutefisk. So there was this also, in that was kind of a pipeline for bringing frozen cod in. And then there's this industrialized deep fried cooking technique that came in right around that time. So with the lifting of prohibition, suddenly there were restaurateurs who needed to bring people back, who'd maybe had taverns before. They could bring big families back for cheap fish, and it would become this deep fried type of breaded fish fry, because before that fish would be fried in oil. And yeah. There are still in like pan fried, and there still are places in Wisconsin like Merrick's and Green Bay that had this tradition of pan frying their fish, so
well,
they would have these.
Yeah, let's pause right there as we look at the foodways with Janet Gilmore. She's telling us about Wisconsin's fish fry traditions. What history do you have to share about fish fries? What do you love about this meal? Do you cook it at home? What's your recipe? We're at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Willem now in Colfax. Hi, Willem. Where do you go?
Pardon?
Where do you go for fish fry?
Oh, I live in Colfax, so there's a mom's diner in Colfax that has really good fish fries. But I wanted to say that I moved to Wisconsin from Holland, Michigan in the late 1970s, or the Western Michigan area, and I moved to Beldenville, which is outside of Ellsworth. And back then there was a place called Sonny's that had a fish fry on Fridays. And it would be like a cafeteria style. They'd have you'd go through a long line, and they'd have all different kinds of things, pickled herring and fish and salads. And the line would be out the door, and there would be young people and older people and families, and people would sit at big tables. And it was kind of something new to me that was really just fascinating. I just thought it was great, because we didn't have that where I came from, and it was just such a welcoming and social event every Friday. So I really enjoyed that.
Willem, thank you so much for sharing that story about Sunny's. And Janet, again, you hear the overtones of bringing community together, talking in lines, and just piling up that plate with so many different delicacies that are really local.
Yes. Well, in some cases they're local, in some cases they're not. But I've had the same experience in Wisconsin, and when I first came to Wisconsin, I had a roommate in Green Bay, an old roommate who had a job in Green Bay, and I went up to visit her. She said, "Say, we could go out for fried fish, you know, it was a Friday night." And I missed the opportunity because I had no idea what that meant, because I was familiar with sort of boring fish and chips kind of fried fish from the West Coast, and so I missed that. But then finally, with friends, you know, a lot of friends will say in Wisconsin, "Say, let's go out for fish," and like, let's get together and visit. Let's go out for fish, and there were opportunities once I came up to Wisconsin to do precisely that. And those Friday night events, there's this kind of heightened buzz in the air. There, people are excited. There's this kind of, there are all these sort of warm smells associated with, you know, fish and beer batter and coleslaw and the beer. And there are many groups of people who are with friends and with family. And they're kind of having their little family gathering in a public place. And people are very familiar with each other. It's really a remarkable phenomenon to see. And it's very widespread in Wisconsin. It does. There are other places in adjacent states and around the Great Lakes that also have fish fries, particularly during Lent, and in churches and taverns and people out of the state in Michigan. For instance, they get really huffy when we say anything about how Wisconsin is sort of the epicenter of the world in terms of this kind of thing. Right?
How dare we? But when you travel around Wisconsin and you see the availability of certain types of fish, how does that impact the culinary history of the region?
Well, I would say that they're all different types of fish fry places, but those that really have are parts of communities and have connections with local fishing people, and say if you're a supper club or something like that, you want to compete with other restaurants, and you want to give people a kind of a local and regional sense of where they are. So supper clubs, particularly in the northeastern part of Wisconsin, but all over, they will tell you what their featured fishes are, or ask somebody, where's a good fish fry? They often will tell you what kind of fish is offered at a particular place.
Well, let's pause right there with UW-Madison folklorist Janet Gilmer. Back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. It's Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. We're in a fish fry roundup inside the history. And by the way, don't forget your sides. Fill out your plate with the French fries and the slaw, hush puppies, lemon slices, fresh homemade tartar sauce, maybe some hot sauce to your liking, malt vinegar. Don't forget dessert. So where do you like to go for fish fry? What do you order? We're at 800-642-1234. We're with UW-Madison folklorist Janet Gilmer, who studies foodways, and she stays with us. So we heard from Joanne from Waukesha, called in to say that St. Maria Goretti Catholic Church in Madison has one of the best clam chowders, big and fried fish. It's all you can eat. What are some of the sides that go along with these fish fries, Janet?
Well, there's quite a bit of variation, actually, although we do tend to think of that default of the coleslaw with the fried fish and some kind of potato. But what I found really interesting was that up in the Green Bay area, where there's such a mixture of ethnicities, the rye bread would be part of your fish fry, and some folks said that is because the rye bread would help you clear your throat if you had a fishbone in your throat. But also there are people who brought their bread making preferences with them when they came to Wisconsin. And then besides the different treatments for different types of fish, the different breadings and coatings and whether they, and the secret aspects of those kinds of coverings, there's usually some kind of coleslaw, but there are two main varieties, and the one that I always look for is the vinegar-based one, which is more of a German type of a dressing, and that's just delicious.
Well, let's pause right here and bring in Chris in Columbus. Hi, Chris.
Yeah, great show as usual. I got to say that in Madison area there, you can't go wrong going to the VFW, either the Cottage Grove Road VFW or the North Airport Road, both outstanding fish fries, and they want to talk about community, that's where you go.
Oh, Chris, thank you so much. Janet, how do you see VFWs and their role in fish fries?
They're just another establishment that offers fish fries on Fridays and has a great base of, to pull from. And they often have wonderful dining facilities, and they can cook, they can make a great fish fry. And so, again, for people who are already part of a community, and people who volunteer, they're volunteers who help with those occasions, it's an opportunity to get a reasonably priced fish meal, a fish dinner, and see people who you know and visit.
Well, let's quickly go to JD in Nakusa. JD, hi.
Hello.
What would you suggest for a fish fry?
Well, just calling in from Nakusa. It's a small town, about 2,900 people. But Sacred Heart Church has a great fish fry every year. They have baked or fried. They have a baked potato, mashed potato, french fries, potato salad, baked beans, fruit salad. If you eat your meal in, there's lots of extras at the table. And then there's cupcakes that all the ladies from the church make, and coffee, and a great time to visit and meet other people and have a great time.
Oh, JD, thank you so much for sharing that. Janet, it is true that there is community, and that's a prime real estate for a folklorist like you.
Yes, indeed. So where do we go next?
Well, unfortunately, we are out of time, but thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, well, you're welcome. I love to talk about this subject, and you know that Wisconsin people really, really love their fish fries. So they're very partial to the places that they go. So
Janet
happy
Gilmore,
eating, everybody.
Happy eating. Janet Gilmore, professor in the Department of Planning and Landscape Architecture in the Folklore Program at UW-Madison. She's affiliated with the Center for the Study of Upper Midwestern Cultures. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum, who takes us to an outdoor hockey tournament.
Wisconsinites know how to make the most of the winter, and they can roll with the punches when weather misbehaves. Both acts were on display at this year's Door County Pond Hockey Tournament. Athletes traveled from across the region to play hockey outside in the middle of winter, but quickly worked together when they had to move the games. WPR's Megan Hart brings us their story.
It's a sunny Saturday afternoon in February, and the Door County Pond Hockey Tournament is in full swing. Teams came from across the Midwest to play at the event. Spirits were high, even though the weather threw a wrench in the plans. It was too warm and wet this year to hold the Door County Pond Hockey Tournament on a pond. Fortunately, tournament organizers found the next best thing. The event usually takes place on Kangaroo Lake. This year, it was moved to the Sister Bay Sports Complex.
We came up with this location about a week and a half ago.
Brian Fitzgerald started the tournament 7 years ago. He says it took hundreds of hours to get the new venue playable, and it wouldn't have happened without the community's help.
And, I mean, even on Monday, we were out here working in T-shirts, and it was a concrete slab, and it was a little disheartening, thinking, okay, how are we going to pull this off?
Fitzgerald says the rinks this year are smaller than on Kangaroo Lake, but they got positive reviews from players. That includes former NHLer Dave Mackey. He played for the Chicago Blackhawks, Minnesota North Stars, and St. Louis Blues. In Door County, he represents the TL Redhawks.
We're the 2018 defending champions, by the way.
It was the fourth time Mackey and his teammates traveled from Chicago's northern suburbs to play in the tournament.
Ice conditions have been good here, so it's been fun. We just try to zip the puck around and have a little fun. And no checking and try not to get hurt.
Pond hockey is a little different than the game you might recognize. In pond hockey, there's no goalie. Most tournaments use a short wooden goal with openings in the corners instead of a regular net. Ben Weisberger says the conditions level the playing field.
So obviously the ice is just a lot rougher, so you got to just be prepared to fall down when you're skating around. It doesn't matter how good of a skater you are. And then it's also just a lot more just throwing the puck at the net, getting pucks to the net, just crash the net hard, which is what we like to do.
Weisberger plays for a team from Chicago called Upper Bunk.
The top bed of a bunk bed where you sleep at night, that's also where we consider shooting at top shelf, so that's why we go Upper Bunk.
What about here where there's not a net?
We still go upper bunk. We only score Upper Bunk.
That's why we lose every game.
The team names get creative. There's Puck Norris, the Hat Trick Swayzes, and Hawaii Five Hole. It's the first time playing in the tournament for Morgan Menting from Green Bay. Her team is called Zero Pucks Given.
We started a group messenger, and we went for a name, and that's what came up.
The Cream City Brickhands came from Milwaukee.
The Milwaukee area, Cream City, yep. And we're also terrible, so Brickhands obviously put that in there, so yeah.
They started the day 0-2, but Casey Monier says it didn't stop them from having fun.
This just is just unbelievable. The conditions are good out here, so we really are enjoying it.
Alex Wirtz and his teammates traveled from Chicago to play in the fresh air.
We're the Rats. Rat hockey, rink rat. Chicago has a lot of rats, and just stuck, right?
He'd broken his skate earlier in the day. His teammate, Colin Salisbury, was impressed that tournament organizers had found an extra pair so that Wirtz could still play.
That's pretty amazing. Two pairs of skates for a guy that broke skates, so you can't beat Northern hospitality.
Wirtz says it's this warm reception that keeps the rats coming back. That and the prime rib and old fashions at Glidden Lodge in Sturgeon Bay.
Wisconsin's a great state, a lot of nice people, a lot of good beer up here, a lot of good food, and we just enjoy ourselves. So it's a nice trip to bring all the boys together and, get up to Door County and see what all it has to offer.
Megan Hart brought us that story on the Door County Pond Hockey Tournament. She's WPR's sports reporter based in Green Bay. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Wisconsin Life, it's a part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. What's happening in your part of the state that could reach all corners of Wisconsin? Send your ideas for Wisconsin Weekend to ideas@WPR.org and we'll check it out. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is Wisconsin Weekend on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.